As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Would you ask Pop that question?
You always like that. That ain't gonna stop me. You can say whatever. Let me tell you something, brother. Played in Texas, played in the SEC. I heard it all.
But it
ain't gotta be right. That ain't gonna stop me.
Right. There's a lot of things that happened in my life that didn't stop me. But don't make it right. It don't mean I should accept it. And I don't think Carmelo should accept it.
You don't.
I just don't.
You don't even know if that's what the guy said.
Right. I'm just saying. Whatever he felt.
But I'm saying, though, you can't be thin-skinned in sports. Especially the Lakers stink. They're in Philly.
You ever see those guys play in Europe and they throw hot quarters?
Listen, man, don't make it right.
Well, we don't even know what anybody said, but
something happened, don't make it right.
Oh, Ernie, just because somebody said this is what he said.
We don't know that's 100%.
We don't know that's 100%.
It could be more than
5-point game. And a foul as Westbrook tried to cut off the baseline against Miles Bridges. And Miles making it clear that Westbrook is way too small to be guarding him. Oh, did he get a technical?
Westbrook probably started all that. Seen him do it multiple times. Yeah, you see? Rock the baby, too small.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hashtag give the kid a vote.
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
Favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Athletic Podcast. You're listening to Basket Buzz. I'm your host, Trey Edwards. I'm joined by Mo Dak Hill and James Edwards. Zach Harper and Jake King are on DNP this week. We have some cool things to talk about. We got the LeBron James injury. Should we be worried about that? Why did the Knicks trade for Cam Reddish? Andrew Wiggins, first-time All-Star, Melo in Philly, and the flaming hot Miami Heat. We're going to start with LeBron James' injury. James, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Good to be back. I've been off for a little bit. Always good to be back with my brothers. But LeBron, man, listen, let me get a hot take off. Let's start this way. The Lakers should tank the rest of the season. That's serious.
So why should they tank?
LeBron, I think Frank said today or yesterday, or Sunday or Saturday, LeBron's not coming back till the swelling is down, which could be. We don't know when that'll be. Obviously, it's not a long-term injury, but this is the most kind of nagging LeBron we've seen, and there's stuff just popping up. And obviously, AD's hurt every other day. The whole Russ situation, they're 24 and 26. They're the 9 seed right now. I don't see them having a trade to make. It doesn't seem like that Taylor Horton, Kendrick Nunn, and 2093 first-round pick is enticing anybody. Maybe you just shut guys down, try to get one more run out of Bron, because I don't know if you guys agree, but I think even if the Lakers end up making the playoffs, I think there will be a team that will just smash them. I don't see this team as a championship contending team. And LeBron's getting banged up. Let's sit him down, sit the AD down, and try to squeeze one actual run out of this and maybe revisit the summertime and see if you can get somebody to help you out. And maybe you can just let Russ play and he'll boost his value these last few months. I'm back, yo, baby.
Trey, hot James take. Is drunk already. I don't know if we could do a podcast now.
Like, what? Tell us why he's what is he sipping on? Tell us more.
It's actually honey lavender chamomile tea, but I may
no,
have,
no, no, no,
I may
no,
have
no,
put
no,
a drop
don't
of,
try to hide it now. There's definitely
there.
Either a whiskey in there or something, because that's a wild, wild take. I don't even know if the Lakers have their pick this year. With all of the trades that they've made over the years, I don't know if it's going to New Orleans, if it's going Memphis, wherever. Like, I'm not sure if they have that. Second, thinking you're going to pump up Russ's trade value isn't going to happen. No. You know, by how he closes the season, everybody knows who Russell Westbrook is at this point. It's the reason why he's been on, what is it now, four teams in 4 years?
Yes.
I mean, like, we. Everybody understands the book on Russ in that instance. If you're trading for Russ after the season, it's really just because you want the expiring contract, not because you want Russ to really play for you.
For sure.
The other thing here is I actually think AD looked pretty good in that game against Philly when he came back. I think it's the give it more time. Like, once they get AD back and things like that, I'm with you on, I don't think they're going to really make a lot of noise in the playoffs. You know, if they're fully healthy, they might give a team a run in the first round of the playoffs, maybe even squeeze into the second round. But I think it's a wild, wild take. Yo, just, they got a tank right now, even with LeBron's sore knees. I think that's out there.
It wouldn't be Basket Buds without a hot take like that. And that was piping hot from James.
But I don't really.
I'm
going to
basically
it,
say, I, of course you don't. Of course you don't. But I don't think the knee soreness is something that Laker Nation should worry about. I think LeBron just wanted to watch the Rams play in LA instead of playing against the Atlanta Hawks. And I get it. I get it, you know, at this point. But, you know, they're not in any position to you know, kind of take games off. They're not in like a real comfortable seat. But I also do understand the, you know, saving LeBron for a little bit, allowing him to get that rest. Obviously, he's a year older now, and he's going to continue to play LeBron James basketball and perform at the highest level that he possibly can. But, you know, with Russ and AD, and, you know, AD's been, you know, out too as well, I think that they have to find some type of, you know, find something in order to, you know, get some wins and end up on that end. And, you know, like, dropping these games is only going to make it difficult. But my hot take in this situation, I think that the Lakers are going to potentially make it to the playoffs. And I think as long as the first round matchup is not the Suns or the Warriors, I think they have a chance of getting out. I think the other team that would basically go to war with them is the Memphis Grizzlies.
I would love to see that series.
I think Memphis would be so fun. I think Memphis would beat them in that series.
I do too. But I would love to see, like, changing of the guard almost.
It would be like Damian Lillard putting out the Houston Rockets with that three.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
it would be such a wild play, guys. I would love for that. You guys, that would be the most fun we could have in the first round.
I agree. Let's make that happen. Bron, get back so you guys can make the playoffs.
Yeah. But the team I think they really want is, if they get Utah, I like them against Utah.
I like that too. I agree.
Yeah, Utah's in some weird situation. I think Utah and Denver are like beatable, but you never know what Utah team you're going to get.
Yes.
Utah can look like the best team in the West, and sometimes Utah can look like mediocre and frauds. So
they need a shakeup, and I don't know how they do it. It's too stale there.
Yeah, right? Like, the roster feels like it's gotten stale. That's such a great word, James. It's almost like you're a writer for a website called theathletic.com. But the thing with the Jazz for me is they're just so bad on the perimeter defensively. And no matter how good Rudy is as a defensive player, he can't cover for the fact that it's literally a turnstile to the rim every time. It's a layup line. Yeah. Those dudes are so bad on the perimeter defensively. I feel bad for him. I don't think he has much of a chance, and that's why I think that's I'm very worried about Utah.
And they don't have anything to trade too. Like, we talk about, I'm to cover the Pistons. Jeremy Grant would be perfect there, but what do they have to go get a guy like that? I've seen him twice in the last 2.5 weeks. Up close and personal, one with Rudy, one without Rudy. The one without Rudy, they lost to the Pistons, and Cade just carved him up. And then they went toe-to-toe with the Pistons when he played and Donovan was on. It's just stale. Like, there needs to be a shakeup. It seems like they do a good job of being buddy-buddy, but it feels like that team might not like each other that much just from observing. And obviously you hear stuff here and there. But, yeah, Lakers would want Utah. And if that series happened in the first round, I would take – the Lakers, if LeBron is even 80%.
All right, that does it for the West Coast. Let's move to the East Coast. I have a question for you, Mo. Why did the New York Knicks trade for Cam Reddish?
So I think it comes down to this, Trey, and it's really, I think the front office had a plan for Cam Reddish and Tibbs doesn't. I think if they asked Tibbs if you wanted to make this, it's like, you can trade for him. I'm just not going to play him. I think that's kind of the attitude that Tibbs is going for. He's still playing a lot of guys ahead of him. You're not giving him the looks that you need. He's getting mostly garbage time minutes. And I think, you know, this kind of happens often with teams. You know, sometimes the front office wants to take a look at these guys. They're trying to decide, hey, are we going to, you know, re-sign him, give him I think he's a restricted free agent at the end of this year. Like, are we going to, what's our value for him? And Tibbs isn't giving him a chance to evaluate him. I won't be shocked, Trey, if we see a lot of moves start going from the Knicks to clear out space for the young guys. You know, Tibbs, make it so that Tibbs has no choice but to play these young guys. You know,
you're giving the Knicks organization too much credit.
Oh, wow.
You have to think about it. The Knicks traded a first round draft pick for Cam Reddish, despite all these losses, you know, in the 6 or 7 games, he has yet to crack the rotation. Tibbs has a 10-man rotation. Cam Reddish is like fourth or fifth in the depth chart on the wings. And I don't see it changing anytime soon. So, you know, going from Atlanta and thinking, okay, he needs to be freed out of there. And then he ends up in New York and he's not even playing. You know, when they first got him, I figured like, okay, they're going to let him recoup from his ankle injury, but he's not seeing the floor at all. And you got to think about all these media accounts that, you know, photoshopped him and made and basically threw a parade as if this was going to change overnight and be something. He's yet to get off the bench and be effective. And I think it's unfortunate. He might have ended up in a worse situation.
If I'm the Knicks front office, I'm going down to the floor and like asking Tibbs, like, what's up, man? Like you said, they gave up a first round pick, and it's not like they're out here beating teams and working their way into the playoff picture. They're 4-6 their last 10. They're in the 12th seed right now, 23-27. I think Atlanta's surging. That's going to be harder to get. Boston looks a little bit better. It's probably going to be, what is it, the top 10 seeds get in? Like, I don't know if I necessarily see them getting into the playoffs. So it's like, you're doing all this and we're not winning. So play Cam, or like, we'll have to figure something out. And I don't think it's Tibbs' fault that the Knicks have had these issues. Like, Julius has been terrible. Many things have gone wrong, but like, we gave up a first round pick. We're not going anywhere. We need to see if we can keep this guy. And oh yeah, like, we would like to get Zion down the line. Like, let's see if we could keep Cam Reddish and maybe that attracts Zion, or that attracts XYZ, just because we have a young piece. Maybe we can get him on a good deal because he hasn't played much, and maybe that's trade bait down the line. Like, there's just the Knicks are in no position right now to be not playing Cam Reddish. Like, I don't get it.
It goes a step further, even. Like, Obi Toppin's been actually really good for them this season. Yep. And he doesn't get enough time. Like, there's not, like, Tibbs just stays with his guys. And to go to your point on the depth chart, Cam Reddish isn't getting minutes. And Derrick Rose isn't even playing yet, right? Like, once Rose comes back, he's even further buried down the rotation. And I think that's the frustration with the front office. I think it's interesting because Leon Rose and Tibbs are so tight, but it's interesting to feel like, I don't feel like they're on the same page in terms of their plan this season. And I've never seen this, guys. The Wizards are on a 5-game losing streak, and they've passed the Knicks in the standings.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, I know it's because the number of games and things like that, but it's just still funny to see that, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
The Knicks are struggling in this instance. And at a certain point, you have to make the decision to turn this thing over. Give it to the young guys. Let's go. We're not, we got to just give up on this season. We got to go now. And I think that's the question that the Knicks are going to have to decide pretty much by the deadline. Cause
if they could find a home for Fournier, for Walker, and I don't know if they can, you know, they, I think they would do that just to clear up minutes for guys like Quickley. For, I like Quentin Grimes. Like, he's been playing really well for them. You know, I want to see more McBride. I want to see more Toppin and Reddish. Like, give these guys a chance.
So you mean to tell me we've had two takes of tanks? that's amazing, man. You got to love on the basket buds.
But one team has LeBron James. Again, I still think James is a little drunk. I am listening to every word to see if there's any slurring. But like the Knicks tanking, this is what we're used to.
Yeah, the Knicks actually should.
Yeah, I mean, good luck, man. I mean, imagine, you know, again, I try to sympathize with Knicks fans, and, you know, every year they get the raw end of the deal. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's unfortunate, and hopefully things turn around and things shake in the next week as we approach the trade deadline.
This is actually the first time I actually feel bad for Knicks fans, just after last year and the excitement, and actually looking like there's going to be something worth believing in. And then they come into this year and this happens. I actually feel bad for you Knicks fans for the first time in my life.
I feel bad, but not really that bad. Because of your guys' overreaction to winning a game, any game. You guys have kind of put this on yourselves now.
Fair.
All right, moving back west. I think we got a private jet now. Andrew Wiggins. It happened, guys. It happened.
He did it.
Andrew Wiggins is our starting small forward in the All-Star. Well, I don't know about start. He's a starter. Yes, he is. But we don't know which team he's going to be on or which part of this whole selection situation is when he's going to be picked. Is Andrew Wiggins going to be the last pick, Mo?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. I'm shocked he's a starter. I don't think he should. Listen, let's start with this. Happy for Andrew Wiggins. Happy for the Warriors. Everything like that and all that stuff. He shouldn't be starting in this All-Star game. It's just, he's not that guy. And so, like, I saw that and I go like, oh, great. He's going to be pick number 10. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Look at the guys around him. Who would you pick him over?
Nobody.
I'm going to just keep it. I'm going to keep it a buck with you right now. And I see a lot of people screaming Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Rudy Gobert, and they should be starters. This is a fan boat.
Right? I'm not up in arms and over it.
Here's the thing. K-pop star Bam Bam. Hear that out. K-pop star Bam Bam was strategically named the global ambassador for the Warriors last month. And he puts out a tweet basically co-signing Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins was he received the most votes as a small forward for the Western Conference. You know who was second?
Who?
Paul George.
Yeah.
And it wasn't close at all. It wasn't close. It wasn't like, oh, man, he beat him by a hair. No, it was 300,000 votes more. So it's completely simple, you know. You know, every season I feel those players that are, let's say the Mike Conleys, the Monte Ellis's, you know, the guys that are having good seasons. And then it's like, if they only could be an all-star, right?
Yeah.
But then someone gets hurt and then that injury window's there. And if you don't take advantage of that injury window, you don't become an all-star. And in this particular situation, we had Paul George hurt. We had Kawhi Leonard hurt. LeBron James has moved to the power forward position and sometimes five. And you think about Kevin Durant is on the East now.
Mm-hmm.
So that window of small forwards has become wide as day. And if there was going to be any player to be an all-star this year, it was going to be Andrew Wiggins. Not only were the Warriors hot, but then Andrew Wiggins was their second best player, averaging 18 points a game.
Yeah. But it's not even small forward, though. It's a forward position. You couldn't put anybody in that spot, though.
No, like, but you're going to put Draymond there?
No, I probably, to be honest, with Draymond getting hurt, I probably would have put Kat in there. And I know nobody likes Kat.
Absolutely not.
It's obviously very clear here. But Kat should have been a starter over Wiggins.
I'm not going to ever, because we're not moving. We're not going to move the goalposts on should have, because we know how this works.
Yeah,
we understand. Fair. So that's on the T-Wolves fans. Again, cry wolf, boo-hoo, vote for your guys. That's it. It's plain and simple.
They're competing with K-pop, though. Like, this and, is no. What I think's going to happen country. Now is
Wiggins every is Canadian. Team's
going to pick. And he's Canadian.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It reminds me, votes.
It reminds me of the Lowry Bieber bump.
Yes. Or the Zaza Georgian vote.
Now, I'm not going to go crazy and say that outside of Kevin Durant, Andrew Wiggins is the best small forward in the league. But I will like to praise him for what he's done on the two-way side.
Has had a good
offensively
year.
Offensively and defensively. He's had an even more efficient year because now he's playing with players that put him in the best position to be the best version of him. Is his numbers changed? Absolutely not. Just his percentage. He was averaging 18 in Minnesota. But the thing is, some guys aren't alphas. Yep. They forced a guy that, you know, drafted him number one. Solid guy, right? But he should have never been the face of a franchise. He should have never been handed the keys that early. As a third option, Andrew Wiggins is serviceable. He is helpful. And we are seeing that with the Golden State Warriors. He played great defense last night on Kyrie Irving. He got a chance to rotate and be there when Klay Thompson can't do all those things yet. And now having two guys that can be all over the place, that's a luxury.
I want to give flowers to Wiggins because he has had a good year. Like you said, like I'm not like up in arms. First of all, it's the All-Star game. It's entertainment. It's WWE. Fans vote. We all complain about the system. As long as it's not all NBA and this is his honor, like, fine. The All-Star, he's got the K-pop band. He's got Canada behind him. He's played well. All good. Are there people more deserving? Of course. But it's not anything that I'm losing sleep over. What I do find interesting, though, and that I do like that he is in here, there's some storylines to think about. Obviously, people remember, like, Cleveland had the number one pick when Wiggins was the number one pick, and LeBron, I'm coming home, but give me Kevin Love. You never hear LeBron, and you never heard LeBron's side of that or anything. I don't know. I'm sure somebody will ask him about that situation at All-Star, and I'm sure he probably won't give much of a response, but that's interesting. And it's in Cleveland where Wiggins was supposed to play. So I could see Wiggins trying to go get, I don't know if he's got that in him, but I would love to see him try to get the All-Star MVP. Just go nuts, man. You're there. Just shoot every shot. Go have fun.
Does Bam Bam have a vote for the All-Star MVP as well? Or is this a...
no, Bam Bam.
Does he get sway on that? Trudeau does.
No, but if I'm Bam Bam, I want to be the global ambassador every year and just leave it open for every team to cash out. I don't know how much they paid him, but look, if I'm going to be getting my fans to just vote... And that's the thing. Bam Bam was up against Kendall Jenner. She made a push for Devin Booker, and
but that's
K-pop is bigger than the Kardashians.
But I understand that. But I understand why Booker doesn't get it, because he's classified as a guard, right? And would you have taken? I don't think I still would have gone Curry and Morant over Booker, right? Like, this is the forward situation, and that's what's worked out for Wiggins. But here's my real question for you guys. Should other teams start investigating which K-pop guy to hire as their ambassador?
No, they
like,
should.
I don't even think it's K-pop, but like, if I was like the Bulls, right? DeMar DeRozan respectfully got his, but if I wanted Zach LaVine to start, I'll hire Kanye West.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
You have to find an influential person. I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this podcast, all organizations, bring in musicians that have influence, that have cult followings, and your guys will be starters.
Make them ambassadors.
I have a plan. I need all of Libya to stand up. Next All-Star, write me in as an All-Star. All Libya. Let's see if we can make that campaign happen. Send me to the All-Star game. Let's go, Libya. All 8 million of you. My peoples, let's go.
Flint won't back me. They got to get Miles in there first.
Oh, I can get Dearborn, Michigan, too.
You can.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'll help your campaign.
Send Mo to the All-Star. Where is it next year? I might not want to go. Where is it? Anybody know?
Indiana.
Oh, no, that's too cold. Yeah. Let's wait till it's a little bit warmer. Then we can start the campaign.
You got some time, brother. I mean, look. Yeah. Hey, it's going to be 3 years of cold, so good luck. Yeah. I'll tell you that now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
On a serious note, let's talk about, Carmelo Anthony and his, his situation with the fan called him a boy, James, I feel like we can tap in a little closely on this situation as far as like the history of being called boy as African-American men. I respectfully, Shaq noted that, when he was playing, that players should basically tune that out or, just do what you need to do and not be affected by it. But I don't think that it was right. And I think that the NBA and the refs made the right decision to remove that fan from the arena because it is used in a tone of, more so.
Essentially just, that's a nice way of saying the N-word.
Basically.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, and whether he wants to dispute it or not, I mean, it's just, it's just not right. Go stand in the corner, boy, or, yeah, boy, do this. And it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, you paid to watch the game, not to talk to me in a dehumanizing way. And in this particular situation, I think every year we have some type of crazy fan that takes it too far, whether he was under the influence or not. There's no place in this game for that.
Nope. And I mean, yeah, if you know the history of the word boy, you know why Melo was agitated, and rightfully so. And if you don't, I recommend going to look it up, because it is essentially, like we said, it's a PG version of the N-word in the history of our people. And I mean, it's demasculine. It's a word it's stripping men, people down to a level of almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Obviously belittling them, but it goes even deeper than that. It's almost like I hate using the word man, but it's like I'm over you. You are.
It's a status thing.
It's a status thing. Yeah. I was trying to find the right words, but it's certainly a word that is as belittling as it can get. And especially when it's used toward somebody in the African American community. I think the league, given their support of the cause and everything that's gone on the last few years, they understand that. They understood Melo's frustration and anger with what happened, and it was the right call. And I don't care if you don't just say boy. Like, you know what you're saying. I don't know. And today you don't say, like, nobody naturally just says boy unless they're talking to a boy, unless you know what you're saying.
It's frustrating for a couple of things. One, I'm surprised by the number of people on Twitter whose response was, that's all he said. Like, you guys know better than that. Most of you should. It's around enough. And the other thing that's funny is people who are like, wow, Melo overreacted. Here's my thing. Melo's been in the league since 2003. He's heard everything.
Right.
If he reacts that way, you know it's something. Mm-hmm. It's not something where you're saying like, wow, only now. Almost 20 years later, Melo's going to get upset because a fan's talking trash. Trey, James, you guys know we've been close to the court. We know what trash gets talked on the court. And we've heard stuff from fans before and things like that. We've heard stuff where you can go and heckle and do whatever, but like when you cross a line, you can't act like there's not going to be repercussions. And I think that's the important thing there. And if, I mean, clearly Melo, a vet of so many years, felt like, hey, this isn't the first time trash has ever been talked to him. Like he felt like that crossed the line. The league did the right thing. And I think that's kind of the important thing. But the other thing too is how many more times are we going to have these problems in Philly? Do you remember the guy who shot the double birds at Westbrook? Wasn't it last year in the playoffs? They dumped popcorn on Westbrook, and now this? Like, listen, I know it's not all Sixers fans, but y'all need to get your house together. And that's the organization needs to really start kind of coming down on the fans a little bit, going like, yo, we want you to have fun. We want you to have a good time. Go ahead. You can heckle and all this stuff, but you can't act out like this anymore.
Hey, good luck. You're talking about a city that booed Beyonce and Santa Claus, bro.
Now, listen, I'm good luck. Trey, let's be honest. I'm all the way in LA. I ain't getting anywhere near that cold.
Yeah.
Don't send me to that All-Star game.
Again, you asking for a lot out of Philly fans. I mean, you know, but also Philly fans are passionate, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then I don't want to put that solely on the entire organization and their fans. Based on one person making a bad decision. I mean, two people on the record. But they care about sports. They're very passionate, and they just want their players to play hard, which, you know, James Harden obviously has been linked to the Sixers. Good luck. If you did not like how you were booed in Brooklyn, you are in for a rude awakening. Ben Simmons does not want to even show his face in the city. He has tinted windows driving around the city. So, do you understand how passionate these fans are about their beloved teams? Yeah.
That might be the scariest fan base in the NBA, outside of Salt Lake for other reasons, but Philly's up there. It's those two jostling for position.
I also seen something about, you know, I think it was they were linked to collusion.
Really?
You know, the Sixers, yeah, because of this Harden thing.
I didn't see that, but I mean, it makes
some sense. Tampering.
It's almost, I mean, you know, basically they've called that hotline, you know, the anonymous hotline, and basically have reached out to look into it. Because, I mean, everything's glued to it. Like, okay, if the Nets do not trade James Harden by February 10th, then James Harden's just going to end up on the Sixers anyway because of his relationships, his personal relationships off the court.
Yeah. So are we talking about some late night texts from Maury to James? Hey man, they don't appreciate you. They boo you.
I don't know.
We would never do that here in Philly.
Got in a Google Doc and mapped out the media plan for the next week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because, again, you know, James Harden's missed a couple games since those rumors have come out. He did say he has some slight soreness, so I don't think that it's has anything associated with it. But the timing is just so questionable. But then, if I'm Philly and I'm Brooklyn, I make that deal. I feel like, you know, you go get a Tyrese Maxey or a Seth Curry and some picks and get back, you know what I mean, Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. I think it works out that way. And then you get, you know, the Sixers, they get their, you know, get their guy, James Harden, to play alongside Embiid. And there you have it. You know, you go from there. But it's interesting to see because, I mean, obviously it's weird trading, you know, cross division, cross conference. But I think it's a no-brainer. You know what I mean? Just to kind of, you know, get availability and consistency. You know, I think that, you know, Ben playing alongside Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And I like that deal for Brooklyn so much.
And we talked about it when the Kyrie stuff first happened. Like, I think we all agreed that, like, a Kyrie-Ben swap was, like, the most fun side. Like, this is kind of just a alternate universe of that. Now that Kyrie's, I mean, he's playing and he's not going anywhere, and Harden seems to be some turmoil there. So it's like, yeah, like Ben still in Brooklyn, it still sounds fun. And Harden with Embiid sounds fun. Like, I think that helps both sides. I think it two birds, one stone. That's what trades should do.
I'm kind of in the minority of Harden and Embiid sounding fun.
I think it's fun. I don't know if it'll work.
I don't know.
I think it's
going to
be the slowest offense in America.
Yeah. But not even that. Like, James has had the most success. James Harden, not our James. Our James, you know, just writes about mustache
players. James Harden has had the most success with big men that roll hard to the rim, lob guys, and things like that. We don't see a lot of that out of Embiid. We see a lot of pick and pop. See, when he rolls, it's very lumbering and slow. Not that he can't catch a lob. And, you know, he's going to want his post touches and things like that. Like, I think it's – I'm a little bit hesitant to just feel like, oh, it's going to be amazing right away. I look at those two and I go, like, this one might be – I'll be glued to the TV to watch it.
Yeah.
This one might not be as good as everybody thinks. And I get it. Getting a guy that's actually on the court versus somebody that's not even in the city of Philadelphia makes a big difference on the roster. But I'd be very concerned about that one.
No, I agree. Andre Drummond, unlocked 2.0. Harden and Drummond, second unit all day. Get that MV, get that all-star ballot going for Drummond next year.
Wow, that's a nasty vote. Moving forward, let's talk about Zach Harper's number one seed, Miami Heat.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids, and honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
We did this on purpose, by the way. We can only have a conversation about Miami when Zach's not on.
I'm looking at it, and you know, everybody's been banged up throughout the season, but when the Heat have their key core guys, they play very well basketball. And in this particular situation, they've only played a total of, I think, 12 or 13 games with their quote-unquote big four. And, you know, I think when healthy, the Heat are dangerous. I'm not sure if they end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they are a tough matchup to match up in seven-game series when healthy.
Yeah, I agree. And this is, I mean, Jimmy would have been on my all-star ballot had he not missed. He didn't meet my threshold for games played, but I mean, he's just been phenomenal as of late. Hero off the bench has been phenomenal. Duncan struggled and they're still doing stuff like this. So, I mean, I think we've all agreed that like this team, I mean, there's a lot of really good basketball players and they have arguably the best coach in basketball on their staff. And I mean, I'm not like surprised that they're the number one seed in the East, but like, for them to weather the storm with kind of just so many inconsistencies in their rotation and their lineups, like I think that's a kudos to what we always kind of give the Heat kudos to, having a good infrastructure with good coaching, being able to identify talent to kind of step in and not really miss a beat. Like obviously they miss a beat, but not a significant beat. And then the stars being stars and that Jimmy Butler adding to that culture and obviously inserting a guy like Lowry and Bam's just a monster. Like it's a really good team that has just everything you want in an organization from top to bottom.
First, I got to call somebody out. How come Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide Pitbull can't get Jimmy into the All-Star as a starter? What's he doing? If Bam Bam can do it, where's
DJ Khaled?
Yeah, Rick Ross. Rose.
What are we doing, guys? Where are you at? I'm strictly calling out Pitbull. You guys can call out the other guys. I'm strictly calling out Pitbull. Mr. 305, where were you? Okay, now let's get to actual basketball stuff. I'm fascinated by this team because going into the season, their biggest weakness to me was like, I don't think they have a lot of depth. I'm concerned about them if somebody gets hurt. They started to lose guys
and not lose games. And that goes to the credit, and James was talking about it, the organization developing guys. Omer Yote 7, Max Strus is killing it. Even when Duncan Robinson is struggling, he's getting his minutes. You're getting minutes from Gabe Vincent. Like, you're killing it. And I think it's all of those things. Like, I'm looking at it now going like, wow, they're actually deeper now. Like, I'm pretty impressed with this team. What I thought was a weakness is actually something where I'm like, okay, they're fine. You know, Bam missed a ton of games and Yurt 7 stepped in like it was nothing. And it's a big thing for them. I don't know if they'll finish with the number one seed. I know they got a tough, not a tough road trip in terms of the teams they're playing, but they got a 7-game road trip starting with 3 games and 4 nights tonight, Monday night. And I think that's going to be a interesting barometer for where they're at. But just the fact that if they're in the top three in the East is pretty impressive considering the injuries they sustained.
Yeah, I mean, good luck to them. Let them keep rolling. I mean, unfortunately, the Bulls are somehow second seed, but, you know, they're having a rough patch right now going into February, losing players and things of that nature, but are still in the mix. So everyone's dealing with something, and I still feel like this is an open title. I don't think anyone, you know what I mean, because we had the Cleveland Cavaliers as a one seed at one blink of an eye.
Right.
And their fans were telling us about how crazy they were and how good and how Darius Garland should be an all-star, which I agree. But then also Fred VanVleet's playing very well. Yeah, and
that's what maybe he, for.
You know, so I mean, it's so many people that are upon consideration. But we're going to wrap it up here. That's going to do it for me, Mo, and James. Check out all Athletic podcasts on all streaming platforms on the Athletic app. Check out Stargazing, Daily Ding, Nerder, and Tappering. And that's going to do it for us.
Everybody knows he's rich. Everybody knows he has nothing to prove.
Comes all the way from California. Oh, now he lives in the Bay. He's been covering the Warriors for a couple of years now. And he's talking to all those players looking around. Got a notebook, talking to people in the corner. Who knows about what? But you know what? He's writing that book. And it's about KD. It's about Joe Lacob, Clay, Steph Curry, and the dynasty. I don't think they're going to like it that much, but they're going to have to deal with it. That's what. They're going to have to read a book about the fall of the dynasty. One more time. He's writing a book about KD, Kevin Durant. He's writing the dynasty. It's called the Victory Machine. He won't be too